Hi, my name is Theoni, and I'm a mother, a birth keeper, a teacher, a body worker, a doula, and so much more.
Hi, I'm Deborah, and I am a mother, a humanitarian worker, and a student doula, and I'm very passionate about storytelling and about everything that has to do with birth and motherhood.
I am a woman's mentor because there's so many things that I do and bring together for women on their journey from being pregnant to becoming mothers and all the life transitions that women go through. So in this podcast, we are going to bring together women who share their journeys into motherhood with us.
And we want women to share their doubts, their fears, what they've learned along the way, and their memories.
Each woman is unique and has a story to tell. We hope that you love the stories as much as we do. Our goal is to inspire, to inform, and to empower.
Welcome to the Becoming Mother podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Becoming Mother podcast. Today, I will be interviewing Deborah and her husband, Marcus. If you've been following us on social media, you know that this is why we are here doing this podcast. So I am very excited about it.
And I have to admit, I'm a little bit nervous because I think it's quite an intimate moment in our life that we are sharing with the world. I wanted to because I felt it was important to tell a different story. And I wanted women to feel empowered because, as you will hear in my story, in the beginning, if I decided to give birth in France, it would have been a completely different story for us. And so that's why, even though I feel like I'm going to be naked in front of everyone by telling my story, I believe that it's important. I hope our listener will enjoy it and feel that they can also have the birth that they want. If they are prepared, if they have the right support with them, and that their partner needs to be prepared as well to be there for them. And I think that's why you wanted to bring Marcus in the picture, because I remember that you told him at the end, I don't know if you said that to all the dads, but you told him you are the best doula dad.
No, I don't say that to all the dads. There are some dads that can be doula dads, and there's some dads that should not be in the birthing room. And I'm very, you know me, I say it like it is.
I have friends who are pregnant at the moment, and the dad said to Marcus, I want to go and have a beer with you so we can chat. I want to hear how it was for you. How did you prepare? What help? How were you able to support her during labor? And all these things that men ask themselves, but they don't have the space to talk about it.
Hi, everyone. My name is Marcus. I'm Deborah's partner and husband. I said, well, what I do for a living is I manage businesses and run my own business.
Because I know a little bit about you, but of course the people listening to this don't know much about us, the little bit they've heard before. But can you guys start with telling me how did you become parents? Was it a conscious decision? Did it just happen? How did you decide to become parents? How did that journey start?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I didn't always know that I wanted to become a mother. There was a point in my life where I was, you know, having the best time of my life, traveling around the world, doing humanitarian work, and I felt I found my purpose in life. So I thought, you know, if it doesn't happen to me to become a mother, it's not a big deal. And so I think when I reached 30, maybe it was the hormones, but I felt like, oh wow, I actually want a baby. And when I would see pregnant women in the street, I would feel a bit envious. So I think my journey started then around 30 years old, where I felt like I've traveled a lot, I've seen a lot, I've done a lot, and I'm looking for something different and another purpose. And I hadn't found the right person to have a baby with until I met Marcus.
So how did you guys meet?
We met online during COVID, and we were sort of forced to just talk to each other every single night because Deborah had gone back to France. So we were chatting, you know, for about 30, 40 days every evening, and we hadn't met each other yet. And then she flew down to South Africa, and the next day we met at about 9 o'clock, and during lockdown, just before lockdown, I ran away again. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the story goes that because we were, you know, chatting on the phone for very long hours, we talked about very deep topics, we shared a lot of personal stories, and felt close very quickly. So things between us moved very quickly as well. We moved in together very fast, and then started talking about having a baby pretty fast as well. And we I think it was also about timing. Besides having a very strong and special connection, we both felt ready. You know, we felt like it was the right time in our life and it was the right person. So things became very obvious pretty quickly. And it was a very quick story because only a few months after we met, I got pregnant. And it was quite funny because I was 35 years old when we met. And I told him, you know, at my age, it takes, you know, time to get pregnant. So even if you start trying now, it takes on average 6 months to get pregnant. And he was like, okay, then, you know, we can start trying and then we'll see what happens. And then I got pregnant immediately.
And so, I mean, did you guys, you know, did you know that you were pregnant? Did you do a pregnancy test? Did you do the test together? How did that unfold?
My cycles are very long. So my period didn't come. So I thought, that's quite normal. Nothing to worry about. It happens. But then I decided to do a test and the test came out negative. So I was like, okay, well, it's a very long cycle.
I let her do the test. And then I think her period still didn't come. So we did another test. And this time I read the instruction manual. And there was like in fine print, if there's a faint line, it means you're pregnant. And I was like, there was a faint line on the first one. Like, baby, we don't actually need to take this test because we know you are pregnant. But we still did the test. And we were actually on holiday with my brother. It was quite interesting, like dealing with the news then, because we thought we'd only have to deal with it later and everything. But yeah, we found out.
Yeah, it was funny. We had to keep a poker face because it was so early, so we didn't want to tell anyone. But at the same time, I was like, I'm not gonna have any wine, so I was giving my wine glass to Marcus without anyone noticing. And there were lots of babies because we were with 3-4 couples and everyone had babies. And and people were asking us, do you guys want to have kids? And we're like, yes, maybe.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, wonderful. That's a lovely story. And so then once you were pregnant, did you have an idea of how you wanted to birth? Did you have an idea of what you guys wanted, you know, separately and together? How did that journey unfold on deciding how you wanted to birth?
For me, it was not obvious. And I think if I had been in France, I would have gone through the normal hospital path, you know. And because I was in South Africa, I did a lot of research, asked a lot of people around me. And then, you know, I heard about doulas and then I tried to find a doula. And so I also read a lot and listened to a lot of podcasts. And I love the stories of women who had a natural birth. I found that really fascinating. And Marcus' cousin, Leia, she runs a healing center in South Africa. And she told us that sometimes they host a home birth. And she told us how the woman, you know, would give birth in a pool, and she would run back and forth between the kitchen and the bathroom to add hot water, and how special it would be, you know, everything is quiet at night, and everyone feels the sacredness of the moment. And I always felt a bit scared, you know, not to be in a hospital setting, because that's how people give birth in France most of the time. And it's what you hear and what you see in the movies. But at the same time, because I've been doing a lot of yoga and meditation, I feel very connected to my body. And then I heard about hypnobirthing, and I did your course. And I felt I do trust my body, and I think my body is healthy. I had a very smooth pregnancy, so I feel like I can do this, but it was a process.
So, I mean, as much as, yeah, how much I get to say about how the birth would be or my ideal birth, I always knew that I would want a natural birth, as natural as possible, with as little intervention as possible. Partly because of books that I read on bacteria and a whole lot of other things. I think there's a lot that happens during the whole birthing process that we don't yet understand, and we're not aware of exactly what is happening, how everything interconnects, and I thought it was a risk not to have a natural birth if we could. So it's not that I'm against intervention, it's just that from how little we know about the whole birthing experience and what actually happens there, I thought it was a risk not to do it as natural as possible with as little intervention. And also in my family, my cousins, they had natural births at home. So I wasn't really, this concept of giving birth in a hospital was a little bit strange. I mean, I was born in a hospital, but I mean, I wasn't fully present then. So, yeah, I think luckily, because of my family, it wasn't such a strange concept to give birth at home, and I had lots of successful births. So, yeah.
You know, and we don't, you know, when you say that, I just realize that it really is what we are told. A lot of how we birth is what do our families do? Like Deborah was saying, you know, if she'd been in France, she would have done what people do in France, because that's what she knew. And you were saying, well, you know, my family had home births, so that was kind of normal to me. So it really is what we know that starts our journey and plants the seeds of what is possible and what is not, and what limits us and what, you know, shows us that there's a different way.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's also the fears that are given to us from our parents or people around us. Because when I told my mother that I decided to have a natural birth and not to get any epidural, she told me, "You are crazy." That was her reaction. And she told me that the day before I gave birth. And I was like, thanks. That's exactly what I need to hear before giving birth.
Yeah, but I mean, we've spoken about it at length, and so it really does depend your first few moves that you make. You know, if you go to a gynecologist, and it's very easy that you are, I mean, even though a lot of them are pro-natural or say that they're pro-natural birth, I've heard of so many cases where in the last minute it changes, and it's, then you've got to deal with it for the safety of your child, and you basically don't, I mean, that's not really an option. So definitely the first choice that you make, if you phone a midwife or if you go along with a gynecologist, it really depend. It will determine what type of birth you have, if everything sort of goes naturally or normally. Yeah.
Yeah, so we had a midwife, and we met with her every 2 months at the very beginning of the pregnancy, and then every month, and then eventually every 2 weeks, and then every week. So that way we built a relationship with her, and we felt like she knew us, and she would know what we wanted. And we asked her a lot of questions, and she was amazingly patient in answering all of her questions, all our worries. And I think building that relationship over time really made us feel confident that we were in the right hands with the right people who share the same views as us about birth. And she's extremely experienced in her field. Every time we mention her name, everyone would say, oh yes, I know her, she's really good. And she's very pro-natural birth. So for us, it was really also about having the right support team with us on that day.
Absolutely, because it's a big event. It's one of the most life-changing events, especially for a woman and for her partner. So to feel safe and supported. And, you know, I say to people, you know, when we talk about pain and, you know, in the hypnobirthing when I teach, I always say, you know, the same hormones that got the baby in need to get the baby out. So you need to feel safe and comfortable and secure. And yes, birth can be painful. It depends on what position you're in and who you're with. Same as sex. What position are you in? Who are you doing it with? So it goes hand in hand with the same hormones.
Yeah, sorry. We are so... we didn't go with the first midwife that sort of came our path. So we did it, we were a little bit selective of who we wanted to be with.
Yeah. And you know, some people don't realize that. Some people think, well, okay, well, this is who's been recommended to me, so this is who I'll go with. And no. I always say to my couples, you know, you're paying a lot of money for a service that you're going to do once or twice, maybe three times in your life. You want to have people who have a similar birth philosophy, that are able to hear you and really know your wishes. It's important.
Yeah, you know, and as you said, I remember during the course, it's your birth, so your wishes. And I think a lot of people forget that. And I think it was really important for us to have that relationship with a midwife, because we ask all the questions, and then we took an antenatal course. And so understanding all the consequences of having a C-section, for example, for us, it was out of the question. We really didn't want to go that way. And so we put all the chances outside to have natural birth. So a lot of preparation, the hypnobirthing course, preparing the body, you know, doing everything possible to make sure that we could have a natural birth. So obviously we knew that if, you know, there are things that happen sometimes that are out of your control, but there are also things that are in your control. And I think a lot of people just, you know, rely on doctors and think, okay, they are the specialist here. They have a diploma, so they know exactly, you know, how to handle this. But really, there are things that we can control. And, you know, you can do a lot of yoga to prepare your body, do a lot of meditation to prepare your mind, because your mind gets in the way when it comes to fear. And you know, if you had spoken to me 10 years ago, I would have told you, give me all the drugs possible. I don't want to feel any pain. So it was years of yoga and meditation and being connected to my body and to my soul, where I knew that I wanted to be connected on that day. I did not want to feel disconnected to my body. And I wanted to be fully present. And I think knowing that, then you realize that it's possible to do it without any painkillers or any drugs.
Yeah. And Marcus, for you, I mean, I know you aren't the person carrying the baby, but for you, what did you need to get your head around when you guys were pregnant? I mean, was there anything that you felt you needed to think about or prepare or?
Yeah, when I was a little bit younger, so in my early 30s, I tested the idea of if I wanted to have children or not. So what I did was I envisioned living a life without children for about a month or so and just viewed life from that perspective. And then I changed this perspective and said, okay, well, I'm definitely having children. And I viewed life like that for a month. And you gain some insights. You observe things that you generally wouldn't observe. And it was quite clear that I did want to have children. But more specifically, that it needed to be the right person. So back to the question, which was how much preparation I had to do. I was quite prepared and I did want to have children and I wanted to have children with Debo. So I was quite happy with it and with the situation we were in.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I think it was with the antenatal class. It made us, make time to be together, listen to somebody who would talk about all these things related to birth and pregnancy. And then we would come home and on the way home, we would chat about it and, you know, exchange our views. And I, even though, you know, you can do without an antenatal course, what I liked about it was that it made room in our busy lives to talk about things. Otherwise, you just go on with your life and suddenly it's your due date. And I felt that Marcus felt more involved because of that course, because, you know, he would get very passionate about it.
And I mean, that's just so wonderful. The reason why you want to do antenatal preparation with your partner, what I'm aware of is that it's so important for couples to do some kind of antenatal preparation because it really does help to get them on the same page and to ask the hard questions and to talk about the hard things, because so often we don't talk about the hard things until the baby's here. And then it's like, oh my word, it's too late or else it becomes more difficult, trying to get your head around having a baby and all the other stuff.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest aspects that is not spoken about enough is the mental aspect of giving birth. And so just the whole process around it. So like you have to be mentally strong. You have to be mentally on the same page of what you want to do. And those are all things that you can do before the birth and you should do before the birth.
Absolutely.
Because by the time the birth happens, you don't have a chance to discuss the finer details and the nuances of it all. But yeah, the mental aspect of giving birth, I think, is a huge aspect that's not really discussed to its full extent.
Yeah. And I remember at some point we were having breakfast and I told you, I don't know if I can do it. Because we went on with all this birth plan, with doing everything naturally without any intervention. And I told him, I don't know if I can do it. I suddenly had big doubts. And he told me, do you remember what you told me?
I can't remember word for word, but I said, if you don't think you can do it, you won't be able to do it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So you need to decide now that you can do it, and you need to stay with that mentality.
Wonderful. Okay, yeah. So let's fast forward now to the birth. Tell me, how did it begin? How did you feel? How did things unfold?
So first, for the little anecdote, is that our due date was Marcus' birthday on the 30th of July. And the
Which
big
I was
joke
not
was
happy
that...
about.
Why were you not happy about that?
I don't want to share my birthday for the rest of my life.
So, but for some reason, we thought the baby is going to come before his birthday. we were convinced that he would come before. So 2 weeks before the due date, you know, we were so ready, and we were so looking forward to meet our baby. But he decided to come after the due date, well after the due date, almost 1 week. So we had been impatiently looking for that moment for almost 3 weeks. And I remember I kept telling you, he's still not here. You know, we are still waiting. And Theoni, you sent me a very nice article about this space in between. And it says beautifully how this moment before you meet your baby is so special, because you know you're about to become a mother, but you're not fully a mother yet. And you should take that moment to reflect and feel how sacred this very short time is, because you're never going to be back at that moment. And that helped me to patient a bit more. I remember we celebrated Marcus' birthday. We just went for lunch together, and we thought maybe it's our last lunch out before we have a baby. So that was very special. And then a few days later, I started having surges, contractions, and we called you, Theoni, and you came to our house, and I remember you took your knitting out, and you were knitting, and you were observing, and you said, "Oh, you're having a contraction now." Yes, but it wasn't painful. It was very manageable. I was bouncing on a big yoga ball, and so you said, "Okay, I'm gonna leave you to it. Just call me back if becomes more intense, or when you want me back, I'll come back." And then that day, nothing happened. Basically, the contraction stopped, but they were quite intense. But it stopped after that day when you came to our house. We were a bit disappointed, and then we went to bed. And then actually, I had an insomnia at night, so I was awake very early in the morning, and then suddenly my water broke when I was in bed. So I went to the bathroom to check if it was actually my water. It was. So it's not like in the movies where you have like a bucket of water that forms on the floor. It was leaking throughout the day, but there were no contractions. So I went for an acupuncture session, and then got back home. Had some more contractions, but then it would stop. So I remember that the midwife said, "Okay, from the time your water breaks, you have 24 hours to have the baby. Otherwise, we have to find a way to induce, because then there is a risk of infection for the baby." So I took some antibiotics in the evening of that day. And we're thinking, okay, well, we're going to have to have an induction, because it's the evening now and nothing is happening. There is no contraction. So I remember we had a pizza, and then we said, okay, then we're going to bed, and tomorrow morning we'll meet our baby. So last night before we meet the baby, as soon as I went to bed, the contraction started. Because I thought, oh, I'm just going to take a nice rest, you know, getting ready for tomorrow morning. But then as soon as I got into bed, the contraction started, and they started immediately really intense. I couldn't lay down. I had to get up. I was on all fours on my yoga mat in the bedroom. And Marcus had said it really nicely.
No, I just wanted to add a little piece like that you must start, is that she had quite strong contractions like for a day, and then it would disappear, and then 2 or 3 days would carry on. And I remember on my birthday she also had quite strong contractions. And I was so tired of waiting for this baby that I was like, baby, it's like, if he comes today, I'm really happy. I just want him to come now. I don't want to wait, and I don't want to wait, and I don't wait forever. But yeah, so there were quite a lot of surges in between, and we thought, okay, he's coming now, the contractions are starting now. And then she would take a bath for an hour, and then it was the end of it. And then we're like all disappointed. And then it's like 3 days later, nothing. And then suddenly on the fourth day, she's got a contraction, and we're getting all excited, and then nothing. So this did go for quite a while, yeah.
And that's the problem, is that you know, the movies and how people portray birth is that you're just at the shops and have it, and then it's, oh, my waters are broken. Oh, here comes the baby. And that's not how it works. And the fact that you can be late on and off in labor for 3 weeks before the baby comes is really normal. And I think a lot of people are in the dark with that and don't realize that labor is a process, and it can take 3 weeks on and off for labor to start, because it's a process of becoming mom getting ready and baby getting ready. Okay, so then what happened?
Yeah, so I think definitely those contractions were different. She basically was reeling in pain on the bed. I think because it caught her by surprise. Definitely once she got off the bed and she got onto all fours or was bending over and starting to breathe properly and going through what she was taught, it became a little bit more bearable. And she instructed me, phone Dionne, tell her to come here now. There wasn't a question of, oh, I might be. She's like, here, I want her here now. I was like, okay, Dionne, here now. So I think that with all the like false labors, once you have the real ones, in this case, once she did have the real contractions that were the sign that the labor was about to properly start, it was very clear for her that this is what was happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was already dark, so we just lit some candles, tried to help her with breathing and on the ball and getting her to relax. But I think you were about 40 minutes away, and those 40 minutes went by very quickly.
And then you got her in the bath, eh? You got her in the bath to support.
So, yeah, we had a big bath. So we filled it up with water, and definitely helped her a lot. I could see from the outside that, like, she was a little bit more in control of the situation. I assume it's just like, once you've had quite a few contractions, you're sort of mentally more prepared of what's about to happen.
Yeah, but the contractions were really close to each other already, very quickly. And this is what you were saying, Tony, is that my body had been preparing for labor over the past few days. So at that point, it just started immediately. And I think by the time you arrived, Tony, after 40 minutes, they were already 5 minutes apart. So it was quite intense. And I remember being in the bath, everything was dark. There were just some candles and the music. I think this space, this moment in time, I will never forget. It's very special because you know you're about to give birth. But at the same time, the minutes seem very long when you're in labor. Yes. At that moment, I decided I really need to go inward and not let my thoughts take over, because otherwise you let your mind lead you and then you get scared because it's something new that your body has never experienced and you don't know how to handle it. So I decided, okay, I really need to go inward and just focus on breathing. And when you arrived, I remember you told me, relax your face, breathe. And immediately I felt relaxed because you were here and because someone was, you know, holding space and telling me that it was going to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I also noticed the big difference in in her whole attitude and her body posture, and like she definitely relaxed a lot more as soon as Tiani arrived. And you know, I mean, I could tell her to relax, but I've never done this before. And I think it is comforting when you hear it from someone who's witnessed a lot of births before and been there when they start talking to you, and it's a trusted person. It really does, like, it's always quite remarkable how her whole body posture, you could see, like, she was coping, but like really struggling. And as soon as Tiani sort of came there, it became like, okay, she can manage this. Like, she's not stressing out, even though the pain or nothing has changed. It's just like her mindset swapped over.
Yeah, and the mindset makes a huge difference. Whether you think, I can do this, or you get scared at every contraction, makes a whole difference on how you handle handle the whole situation. So I remember you started timing the contractions and you said, okay, they're 5 minutes apart. So it means we are in active labor. And at that point I told you, I don't really feel like going into the car to go to the clinic, because our birth plan was to go to Genesis, where we could have a natural birth and just have the midwife and you as our doula present. And you said, well, you need to make a decision now. Either we have this baby here or at the clinic. Because if you want to have the baby at the clinic, we need to move now. And I remember you said to Marcus, okay, you need to get the car ready now and I will help her to get out of the bath. So everything went very quickly. And you told me, okay, the maternity is at... it's 20 minutes drive, so you're gonna have about 4 contractions to handle while you are in the car. You've done this, you can do it. Oh my God, those were the longest 20 minutes of my life. every minute I told him, are we almost there? Are we almost there?
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to say that I remember arriving and I could see just by looking at you in the bath that your sacrum, you know, the bones behind your lower back, they were starting to expand. And I could see just from your breathing and the tone of your body that this baby was coming. And when you said, oh, well, you don't really want to move, I was like, well, you need to decide, because either the midwife comes here or we go to the clinic now. So it was very clear that we didn't have a lot of time to be waiting around and making a decision. So that's why, you know, it had to be so clear.
Yeah, and I think the nice thing about having you, having a doula, is also that we didn't need to think about speaking to the midwife. So you were the one who were communicating with her, updating her on what was happening. So when we were on our way to Genesis, you told her that we were coming, and so she was ready to welcome us. So I think at that point, if I'm not mistaken, it was about 10 p.m. And it was curfew because it was COVID. So there was no one on the road, and there were some police block, but they didn't stop us.
Yeah. No, there were other cars on the road, but it was fairly open. And there were some police cars, but I went flying past them. But yeah, just to like a more practical note, so with having a doula there, is like, you can't pack the car and be with your wife. You can't do both things at the same time. And like leaving your wife at that moment is not a good idea. So it's just, yeah, I mean, it's like a situation where you need that extra pair of hands. You need someone there who can talk to her and comfort her and be part of that process with her while you sort out the car. I mean, even though all our bags were packed, it's still like 5-10 minutes before the car is ready to go. It's not like we have the yoga ball in the car because you're using it at home, or the bags are in the, you know. So yeah, I think if I would do it again, definitely again, I'd do as someone who can assist with the more practical sides. Yeah,
small detail. I was, you know, wondering, what am I going to wear when I'm going to give birth? Because you need to be comfortable. But at the same time, you know, like, I don't know. I made it a big deal in my mind. And I remember when you helped me to dress, I didn't care what I was wearing at all. And I was wearing my slippers. I didn't even put shoes on.
Yeah. Because you don't care at that stage. I mean, you really don't care.
You really don't care. I mean,
if it had been warmer, you know, you might have just gone in a gown, you know? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It's really not important, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So after the long, what seemed very long, car ride, we arrived at Genesis and it was very dark. And our midwife, Victoria, welcomed us. And I said, oh, I'm so happy to see you. And then she had prepared the room. It was dim light. The bath was ready. It was warm. And I immediately felt like I wanted to be in the bath. I didn't want to wait 1 second. So I just took all my clothes off and I went into the bath. And from then on, it was really intense. I felt, and I remember that what was helping was you and Victoria being very present, fully present. I felt that with each contraction, you were there. You were telling me you are doing great. You know, words of encouragement really helps because it's so intense that, you know, you're not sure what you're doing and your body is doing something that has never done before. And I remember asking Marcus to push with his hands on my lower back and I wouldn't let him take his hands off. So I think for probably 6 hours, you were pushing with your hands on my lower back.
Yeah. Wasn't that long. That wasn't that long. Felt long. But it wasn't that long.
Exactly. And it was very interesting because there's this phase that's called the transition phase where you did prepare us that at some point the woman feels that she can't do it and that's when she's in transition and that's when the baby's about to come. But I didn't remember that when I was in labor. You know, I didn't realize I was in transition phase. So at some point I felt I can't do it. I've been handling every contraction and I thought I was fine. And then there's this phase where I feel like this is endless. This baby is not coming. Help me. And I remember turning to you and Victoria and saying, help me. Please help me. So that's when you said, okay, let's get out of the bath. Let's try new position. Let's try squatting. Let's try squatting on the bed. Let's try different things. And so I remember you told me it's going to feel like you need to take a poo. And this is what's happening. It's your baby pushing and coming. Because I think every woman who's giving birth for the first time feels like, okay, I need to hold on. Like, feels like I need to poo. But this is not what's happening. This is the baby pushing, the head of the baby coming. That's what you feel. And that's such an interesting sensation. Like I can't describe it, but it feels like you need to go to the bathroom. And instead of holding it, you need to embrace that sensation and just let it be and push further. And for me, that what I remember, I think we talked about it again with Marcus, and he remembers it a bit differently from what I remembered. But I didn't feel like I was pushing like in the movies. You know, I just felt like it was very intense. And I even remember that there was a pause between the moment where it's starting to be intense and where I felt the head of the baby pushing, where, you know, Victoria and you were like, okay, the baby is about to come. But at that time, we went back into the bathtub because I didn't feel so comfortable outside of the bath. So we went back into the bathtub and Marcus went in the bath as well with me. And I remember you said to Marcus, you can put your swimsuit now if you want to come in the bath. Because I remember you said, oh yeah, there was a French couple and then the dad just came naked in the bath and everyone was feeling a bit awkward. So you came in the bath with me.
And I was the whole time in the bath with you, baby.
And I don't know how long did that phase last? Do you remember? When
So,
it was the pushing phase, the last phase?
yeah, I mean, last phase was probably about 30 minutes, I think. But I had been in the bath with you from the very beginning. So as soon as you got in, I also went in. But yeah, I think we have some different recollections of how it all unfolded.
And it does, it does. And
But
this is the beauty of birth, is that even though you're having the same experience, your child is being born, you're experiencing it very differently. Obviously, Marcus is experiencing it more emotionally, whereas Deborah, you're experiencing it emotionally and the intensity of the physical.
yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that phase was quite short, but extremely intense. I don't think it was painful. Like if I remember it now, I didn't think, oh wow, that's painful. It was more like, wow, I've never felt this sensation before. It's really foreign, and I'm not sure how to handle it. And it's when you told me you need to let go, just as if you were going to the bathroom, that at that moment it clicked. Because before that, I felt a bit lost. I didn't really know what to do, how to handle these contractions. But then there was that moment where it clicked, and you and Victoria were like, "That's it. This is how you do it." And that's when the baby started coming out. And then I remember Victoria was checking it because we asked her to be very hands off. We didn't want to have any checked, or I didn't know how dilated I was. So I asked her to check, and she said, "Okay, you are at 9 centimeters at some point." And so we knew that the baby was coming. And then I think there's a little pause, and then it's like, "Wow, he's really coming." She said, "I can see his head." And Marcus, you were behind me at that point, and we wanted you to catch the baby, but I think it was not possible given the position. But you quickly were handed our baby when he came, and then he was put on my chest, and it was just very surreal, because you are in this bubble during labor, and then suddenly you have a baby on your chest. So it felt very surreal. A great relief that labor is over. And some people ask me, "Oh, do you feel this unconditional love as soon as you see your baby?" And for me, it was not that. It was more, I was in awe of the miracle, that I just had given life. I couldn't believe it. And I think for me, the love came gradually. Of course, I felt very protective, and I was very happy. But I wouldn't say that it's unconditional love at first sight. And he immediately wanted to breastfeed as soon as he came out. And I remember telling you were like, "Okay, he wants to feed," so you helped him to latch. So that was very nice. And it was beautiful, and everything went quiet. And we just hugged, and I remember Marcus saying to my ear, "Wow, baby, what you just did was fucking beautiful."
Oh, amazing. And that's like the best thing you can ever hear if you've just had a baby.
Yes, exactly.
And for you, Marcus, how was it the
Yeah, I
moment he
mean,
was born?
it's definitely not like the movies, or ours wasn't like the movies. It was a lot more gentle. It came out very slowly and very controlled. It wasn't like suddenly he popped out. It was very conscious, and I think also with the midwife's experience, it was handled very well. I remember his cord was slightly around his neck. But Yeah, I mean, it came out then sort of quite quickly as soon as the largest part of the head was out. And then she picked them up and I grabbed them and placed them on Devil's chest. But yeah, it was quite surreal that this sort of bump is now turned into this fully functional baby. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, the way we had it was a very, yeah, it was very quiet and peaceful, and it sort of allowed you to take it all in and not be like overrushed by the situation.
And that's what you guys wanted. I mean, that's what you wanted, is to really do it slowly and be present and conscious, which is what you did, which was beautiful to witness.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm happy that I didn't have any drugs, because it really allowed me to be fully present, but also to remember what happened. Even though, you know, there are some memories that are blurry because you are with the hormones, you are in a different space. But I feel like I was fully present on the moment, even though something seems blurry now. And yeah, and then I think it's very sacred, because once we were the three of us, you and Victoria left the room and left us, you know, alone for a moment to get to know our baby. And his name is Timeo, and he was born at 3 a.m. So it was really beautiful how we did skin to skin, and we saw the sun rise at the same time. And I was exhausted, but I couldn't sleep. I remember Marcus fell like asleep a couple of hours later. He was so tired, but I couldn't sleep. I was just staring at my baby the whole time. And I remember that I didn't want to break that sacredness, so I didn't text my family right away. I wanted to have that moment just for us before letting everyone know, because I thought, you know, it doesn't make a difference whether we let them know now or in a couple of hours. So I remember purposely leaving my phone off and telling them only later on.
Yeah, I mean, we asked for a semi-lotus birth. So as soon as he was born, we didn't do any checkups on him. His color was good and he looked healthy and fit. So we got to spend an hour just me, Debo, and Timio together, just in the bed, relaxing and just absorbing the moment and what had just unfolded. And then, yeah, which is beautiful to be given that opportunity and the chance to it goes very quickly, but yeah, it was, I think, even like an hour and a half.
The movies, you see how the, you know, the medical staff grabs the baby, measures the baby, and do all kind of stuff. And we had watched a documentary on Netflix, and we're like, this is awful. Actually, you start your life being grabbed by people wearing gloves and, you know, bright light. And so this is exactly what we wanted, was something very gentle, very quiet, very peaceful. And this is how he was born. And I think it's an amazing way to come into this world.
And you know, if you think of him now, because how many months is he now?
He's almost 10 months.
Almost 10 months. So if you think of him now, and I mean, he's been here now for 10 months. I mean, do you think that the birth has impacted him in a positive way? Do you feel like he is a calmer child? I mean, not that you would know, because it's your only baby you've had. But if you look at other people, do you feel like that's impacted who he is?
So he was. So, I mean, he was a very placid child for a very long time, until he learned how to crawl. And then sort of since then, he's now very active and very curious about everything. But, I mean, it's hard to say with all the different personalities what caused it. but I'm very like happy with the way he is, his personality. He's very sort of confident in a way, or sure of himself. He's not shy. But yeah, honestly, the first 4 months, like I think we heard him cry like for the, like once or twice or three times. We thought we'd given birth to an angel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it really made a difference because he was very peaceful. He wouldn't cry without any reason. He was very calm. And I remember I went out for coffee with other moms the first time I went out. And he was, I think, 3 months old. And he was so calm. He was just observing people and what was going on. And everyone told me, is he always this calm? Does he ever cry? They were really surprised. And I do think having a gentle birth, having your parents, you know they are there, you know you're safe. I think it does affect the way you are and you start your life. And and actually now the fact that he's, you know, very social, like it was his first day at preschool today, and he didn't cry once. And the teacher told me, I've never seen a baby not cry once during his first day at school. And I think partly it is because we always responded to his needs. So he never had to cry, basically. Whatever he needed, we were there for him. And he knows that he's loved and, you know, whatever he needs. So he doesn't need to cry.
So, I mean, as we begin to wrap up the story, I mean, is there anything, I mean, I've got a question for each of you still, but is there anything else you'd like to add at this point?
Well, I want to thank you, Theoni, from the bottom of my heart. I did write you a card after we had the birth, but you made a huge difference for us in our birth story and how we experience birth. And I wouldn't have it any other way now that I think about it and I remember everything. And thank you for accepting to be our doula, even if it was a last minute request. It was so special and you made it extra special for us. So thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, we were one of the lucky ones that managed to have the birth that we wanted and that we envisioned. But it also didn't just happen. Like we made sure that if we rolled those light dice that they were going to be in our favor. And yeah, my wife did an amazing job with all her insomnia and reading up and listening to podcasts and mentally preparing herself for it. So I think it's a lot of people say it's sort of out of their control. And what happens on the day is definitely out of your control, but everything that leads up to that day is very much in your control. And I would suggest that you take full advantage of those 9 months to prepare yourself mentally and physically for what you're about to, the journey you're about to go in. If you think how hard people train for marathons and comrades and all of that, this is nothing in compared to that. And if you fail on a marathon, you can try next year. Like, this is not a point where, you know, you want to fail. You want to get it right and use those 9 months wisely to make sure that, physically and mentally and your team and everything is ready for the day, regardless of what comes.
Mm, that's lovely. Thanks. So in ending off, I'd like to ask you, Deborah, what words of wisdom would you like to share with the moms that are becoming parents, which you had wished you were told before you became a mother?
To trust yourself. Because I think it's very easy in this vulnerable phase of your life. When you are pregnant, you know, not really yourself, so you feel vulnerable. And then once you've given birth, you feel vulnerable because you don't know what you're doing as a new mom. And I think to trust yourself for me was really an important lesson, because actually you know the answer and you know what you need. You know your body, you know your baby. You are the one who has given birth to your baby. So I think to trust yourself is the best gift you can give to yourself. And trusting your body, trusting that you can do it. Now, every time I speak with a friend who is pregnant and is scared of giving birth, I tell her, trust your body. Your body knows. Even if you are not sure, even if your mind is telling you you can't do it, trust your body.
Absolutely. And, you know, don't always trust your mind, because your mind can tell you all sorts of things, but trust your
exactly.
body.
Exactly. Trust body's your body, yeah.
Your body knows.
Yes.
Absolutely. Lovely. Thank you so much, guys. Again, I just want to say how, you know, that when you told the story, this is how this podcast came to be. And I just absolutely love that. And I think Marcus wants to say something else.
You never asked me my question. Well, I assume my question was, what advice would I give men that are about to become fathers or on this journey? I think for men, we quite easily say, okay, it's the woman's giving birth, and I'll leave everything up to her. And, you know, she's now the chief in command when it comes to the birthing section. And I'm going to step back because I don't really have anything to say or any way of contributing. And I think that's wrong. You can't lead the situation, but it's definitely important that you contribute wherever you can, and also try and make it as much a team thing, and also just be as present and as committed as you'd be as if you were in charge of this whole operation that was about to unfold.
Wow. I really, really enjoyed listening to you, Deborah and Marcus, and your story. And what really comes across for me, having, you know, being part of birth for so long, is that you both were very conscious in your decision to actually, this is who I want to have a baby with. This is how we want to do it. You did have a doula, but you didn't really feel connected to her. Then you found me. And I just feel like it was really a conscious journey to bringing your baby into the world. And I think it's beautiful that the more people can be conscious and aware of that, it's not just, okay, well, when the baby's here, then we'll do X, Y, and Z. No, actually, it's part of the journey. The pregnancy, the birth is part of getting babies here, and to become parents is that journey of being pregnant.
Exactly.
How was it for you?
Yeah, I actually think it's the beauty of having a baby late, in quotes, because I don't feel it was late. For me, it was the perfect moment in my life, because you have the maturity and the wisdom to acknowledge that you don't know anything about birth. I didn't know anything about birth. And to seek information, and to learn from different people who are experienced, by asking questions, by speaking to your friends who had babies. And I think this process is so important. And I think even though I'm very impatient and the 9 months seemed quite long towards the end, because Timeo came after due date, so he really tested our patience. And I think for me, that was my lesson here, was that things take time. And if you take time to consciously understand what you are going through and where you're going, then you can have the birth that you want. The reason why I wanted to share my story is that when I shared my story with family, with close friends, it's, oh, you are so lucky, you had a quick labor, 6 hours, so quick. And you didn't have any painkillers or anything. Oh, you are so lucky. You are so lucky. And I want to say, no, I wasn't lucky. I think often we rely on other people, and we think we don't know anything. So I'm just going to trust this person that I've never met before. He's a doctor, he has a degree, so he's going to do it for me. But no, you are the one giving birth, and you are the one who is the first person who can have an influence about how your birth goes.
Lovely. Okay, so on our next episode, we are joined by another amazing woman who has two different, very different birthing stories, and yet has so much richness and wisdom in her words, and she is very real. So if you don't like swearing, maybe you shouldn't listen. But it is
or maybe
really,
you should listen.
Or maybe you should listen. So because she's really real, and that's what I love about her, about who she is. And I don't want to give too much away about her her birth stories, but they really are worth listening to. And she brings a depth into motherhood that I think few people are able to go there.
And then me being like, okay, let's get this baby out, you know, like, so yeah, it definitely came up. But I think, you know, like, whatever that may be for you, I think it could be sexual trauma. It could be stuff around your mother, you know, that stuff comes up. It comes up in your birth, whether you like it or not. And that's what is so incredible about the birthing experience.
Thank you so much for listening to the Becoming Mother podcast. Please follow us on social media, Becoming Mother Podcast. And you are welcome to reach out to us by email, becomingmother.podcast@gmail.com. And we are so happy that we are building this community and that women can share their stories and learn from each other. Thank you for listening to the Becoming Mother Podcast. We hope you felt inspired, touched, and that you learned something.
Feel free to share the love and share this episode with your sisters, your mothers, and your friends.